this Thursday. This Thursday. When? This Thursday at historic Shortridge High School. There from 4 to 7 in the afternoon. You're looking for something for your kids to do this summer. You're looking for an employment opportunity. You're looking for what the summer camps are. You're looking for some of the things that keep them out of the street and keep them occupied. There will be at least 40. There may be more organizations for us all over with. At least 40 organizations there put together by the office of the 7th District Member of Congress. And he happens to be here because they ain't doing nothing in Washington right now. And Congressman Andre Carson is here. Welcome.
Dr. Brown, thank you. Let me first start by thanking all of the voters for their tremendous support toward our reelect effort. It's such an honor to serve the 7th Congressional District, and we appreciate the vote of confidence.
So what's happening Thursday?
Well, it's our Youth Opportunities Fair. We want to present an opportunity for young people. We have Kathy Suchet-Moda here, who is leading the effort from our organization. We're trying to make our contribution as it relates to presenting opportunities for our young people to get them off of the streets, to have them doing something productive so they can pick up a skill, be better contributors to society, and really gain some kind of life experience. We want to prepare them for their future careers. And in addition to those summer opportunities, Dr. Brown, we also have some valuable year-round job training programs, including Public Allies and Employ Indy for young people who are graduating from school this May. So we really hope this event will help indirectly, in a sense, to really address the recent violence we've seen in our streets by showing young people that our city is filled with great opportunities for them.
So now what kind of folk are going to be there on Thursday?
Well, Dr. Brown, we have organizations such as Forest Manor Multi-Service Center coming to talk about their summer camp. We have the 100 Black Men of Indianapolis also coming to talk about their summer academy. As the congressman indicated, we have Public Allies with the Indianapolis Neighborhood Resource Center, who are going to talk about an AmeriCorps program opportunity for some of the older youth, 18 to 24 years of age.
People have forgotten about AmeriCorps.
Yeah. Oh, America is a wonderful opportunity.
That's jobs. That pays.
Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. And not only does it pay while you're volunteering for your community, but it pays afterwards. You also get a stipend after your service to apply towards school or to pay off some student loans if you already have those.
And so it's a combination of there are some job opportunities. Mm-hmm. There's also some summer camp, day camp kinds of things as well.
Absolutely. So the goal is all ages, organizations providing wonderful programming. We just want to get connected with families and young people who would benefit.
Mm-hmm. And it's this Thursday up at Shortridge.
At Shortridge, the Magnet School, from 4 to 7 p.m. Ages begin at?
As young as 4 years of age, Congressman.
As young as four?
Yes, sir. Obviously, they won't be working.
So it's like 4 to like 20, early, like 20-something.
That's right.
So come. But if you don't come, then you hear about your neighbor got a gig or they found something for their kid to do, then you're going to be mad at somebody. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's like, we got David got a question in there, and they showed me on the screen, Congressman, that it may have something to do with them crazy Boko Haram, them people in Nigeria that have kidnapped our missing girls. Hi, David.
Yes, hello, Amos and Congressman Carson. This is David Williams calling. I'm just getting off the plane from Denver, Colorado, and Dallas, Texas, and while I was out there, there was an outrage in the African-American and the European-American community about this despicable episode that's being played in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And I'm just coming from a meeting with Duke Oliver at the Mama Kala bars at 54th and Keystone, and we're wondering why has there been an outrage in the religious community and the community in general because of what is going on there. I mean, it's been mute here, but in the other cities with African-American congregations and populations, Denver, St. Louis, Dallas, there's been marches and chants. We want to get the ear of the Nigerian president, Goodluck Jonathan, to let him know that we are concerned about. These are our daughters also, and we're enraged. And so we're wondering, would we be able to meet at Mama Calabar's at 54th and Keystone and maybe have planning sessions where we can voice our choice against this horrible thing that's going on now? What is President Obama doing to bring our babies back home?
Well, first of all, I know, Congressman, the other day you issued a statement. Yes. We read that on the air, a strong condemnation of this Boko Haram. Thugs. thugs. You know, usually we don't like to call our own folk thugs.
Sure.
They thugs.
Sure, definitely. And they're buffoons. I myself and Keith Ellison, the two Muslim members of Congress, we just wrote a letter to Boko Haram calling for the release. The State Department is on the case. I know the president has been very vocal about the release. We are sending a small unit over there to not only find Boko Haram.
I think it's our FBI.
The FBI is a part of it, but we have a special forces unit.
I was getting ready to say there's probably some other stuff going on that we don't want to know about.
Without question. Right.
What is the Congressional Black Caucus talked about? Because I think what the caller is talking about is in some cities there have been public demonstrations. Sure. What has been the position of the Congressional Black Caucus?
Chairwoman Fudge, along with Congresswoman Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters, just held a press conference. I was unable to make it because I was in Armed Services Markup. Dealing with this issue, condemning the issue nationwide. There are many of us who have met with Nigerian officials on the record and off the record about ways in which we can help bring this issue to light and kind of capture the outrage and disdain that's out there and shift it to positive energy. I know for myself, speaking personally, along with Congressman Ellison, we have made a personal appeal. Not only have we condemned these actions, but we have personally reached out to Boko Haram, and we're calling for an immediate release.
Are you concerned that the Nigerian government was kind of slow off the gate in reacting to this atrocity against their own people?
Well, you know, for me, I think that they were just as perplexed as the rest of us. I looked at the Nigerian government with a degree of suspicion. At the lack of enthusiasm in terms of working with the law enforcement community, but again, that's all I'll say.
I know. Correct me if I'm wrong. There is aid that this government provides the nation of Nigeria. Is it fair to say that if we don't see movement from the Nigerian government in taking this seriously, there might be a bipartisan move in Congress to say, wait a minute, you ain't taking your own people seriously. Maybe we'll hold our dollars back for a bit.
Well, I think only time will tell. It's difficult to say how quickly they're reacting. I think it's probably fair to say that the Nigerian government, in terms of their law enforcement apparatus, they aren't as skilled as our government is at solving these kinds of crimes, quite frankly. But I do think that there has historically been a degree of corruption in the Nigerian government. Great nation, great people that we have to look more deeply into, and probably attach larger strings on the dollars that go to the Nigerian government.
Congressman, have you heard whether other African nations have also offered, you know, their law enforcement expertise? I know there are some great law enforcement agencies in other African nations.
They have. I know that some of the Eastern African nations have offered support and intelligence support, especially in the way of tracing the funding that has gone to this group.
Because these folks, they do have money. This Boko Haram, whatever, Boku Thuggy, whatever.
They do have money, and they're misrepresenting Islam. But I think, you know, any gang or any group of thugs can call themselves what they want. I mean, there are groups of thugs who call themselves angels, mm-hmm. and they act very devilish. And so I think that they're another example of how someone could hijack a religion and misrepresent the tenets of that faith.
Let me go to Counselor Duke Oliver, whose name just got mentioned.
Yes, Amos, I've been listening to your show. Good afternoon, Congressman.
Duke of Earl, good to hear from
and,
you.
And your guest also.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to your job fair.
Thank you.
And I do have a couple of outstanding candidates that will be there.
Please, send them. Send
along
them.
With myself, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your presence there. Thank you.
And I just attended a meeting. I went and sought out the Nigerian, anyone I could find, and it led me to what references that Mr. Williams had just mentioned, and I saw the Nigerian restaurant up there on East 54th Street, and I went in there, and I told her what my concerns were, what was going on, and how we can raise awareness here in the city of Indianapolis, because most of us are direct descendants of slavery.
Yes, sir.
And we know the evils of slavery long after they've been set free.
Yes.
There's some legacy there that comes with the birth of the children.
Sure.
And slavery has been described by our own Frederick Douglass as the perfect hell.
Yes.
So they took our girls, mm-hmm. whoever they were. You say sure. buffoons. You're very kind and generous on the air. Thank the Amos.
Yeah.
Your good choice of words.
Yes,
but yes, much more than that.
Yeah.
And there will be awareness made to all of us in Indianapolis and the rest of the world that we are modern day abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
All of us speak out against these terrible things, and there will be, quote, a rally and a press. And I hope you or some of your staff
Absolutely.
Will be able to attend.
Absolutely.
It will be coming up, I believe, a week from Saturday.
Okay.
We don't know where. It may be on a circle. It may be up on 54th Street. It may be at the park. It may be at the church down in Vermont down there, a historical church there that housed runaway slaves and the like. So we have a direct linkage as to the effect of slavery and how horrible it is, and we want to let the rest of the world know that those of us in Indianapolis are concerned, and we wish the president all the best of luck in
yes.
achieving, as Amos say, in some kind of catalytic way of getting that done. But my question I'd like for you to answer, Congressman, you made reference to the Congressional Black Caucus
yes, sir.
And some things, some initiative that the president may be doing or may not be public, but overall in your travels throughout the country and the world, the last 7-8 days, what have you heard about the reaction from our community towards what's taking place over in Nigeria at this moment?
Well, Council Oliver, let me first start by thanking you for your service and advocacy. You've always been a reliable voice in our community, and we appreciate all that you do. As I've traveled this country, there has been a deep amount of outrage about this issue. I think that there has even been voices who want to travel to Nigeria to protest there. But I think what we could do is collectively, state by state, community by community, have our own rallies and protests and look at ways in which not only we can call for international attention, greater international attention on this issue, but I think it gives us a space where we could, for those of us who are fathers, for those of us who aren't fathers, for those of us who are concerned about our mothers and our sisters and our aunts and all of our relatives, for us to really think about ways in which we could raise up our women, ways in which we can openly condemn the misogyny that's taking place in our entertainment culture, ways in which women are minimized each and every day, ways in which there are disparities, economic disparities, the fact that a woman makes 70 cents to every dollar a man makes.
I'm listening.
Ways in which we can draw attention to the fact that even in our society in the 21st century, women are still mistreated and in many cases treated like second-class citizens.
And to think that they said, well, education, they didn't want those girls to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It just took me back 150, 200 years where they too did not want us to know how to read and write. You see what I mean? So the effect, a direct linkage of what's happening in the 21st century, you know, has some legacy going back to where my foreparents and yours were in this horrible thing in America, slavery.
Yes.
So that's why I'm actively pursuing a gathering of us coming together, and I appreciate all that you do. And
thank
congratulations
you.
on your win last week, and we look forward to you being successful in November. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Before I go to Jerry, that also has a comment on the girls, I want to get the congressman to comment on one of the breaking stories of the day, and that is an announcement by Governor Mike Pence's office that on Thursday he's going to announce some kind of alternative to expanding health care coverage through the Healthy Indiana Plan. IBJ, the Indianapolis Business Journal, has just broken a story online by J.K. Wall that says that Pence to unveil multi-pronged plan to expand Medicaid. And according to the story, the governor's plan involves, quote, a combination of the Healthy Indiana Plan, employer-sponsored health plans, and health savings accounts. According to an invitation email sent Tuesday to Indiana healthcare officials, According to the invitation, it says, quote, after negotiating a one-year waiver for 40,000 KIPP recipients, Governor Pence has now developed plans to expand the program as an alternative to Medicaid. The invitation also says the governor plans to use private market-based reforms, employer-based plans, and HSAs to transform health care in a fiscally responsible manner for the Medicaid-eligible population in Indiana, end of quote. This is a story on IBJ.com. Mm-hmm. Congressman, your reaction, because now looking at that in IBJ, yeah. It looks like this would not involve the federal government or the Department of Health and Human Services.
Which is unfortunate to me still, you know, and I want to wait on details from Governor Pence.
Just because it's in IBJ, that don't right. mean... Okay.
Which has a degree of credibility, no doubt about it. And I'm a fan of the IBJ. But, you know, I'm waiting on details on what this expansion is and what it means for our, you know, federal waiver. But I believe we really missed an opportunity that other states are taking advantage of right now as we speak. You know, we could have helped over 400,000 Hoosiers, and while HIP covers some of them, we still have hundreds of thousands of Hoosiers who are uninsured. So it's unacceptable for me. I personally like Governor Pence, but we have deep philosophical differences as it relates to philosophies and taking care of the least.
One other thing, because I think everybody wants to talk about the missing girls, this thing about Benghazi.
Yes.
Now, your Republican colleagues in the House kept wanting to talk about Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, repealing it. I understand they've stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Now they got this committee and to investigate again Benghazi. Have the Democrats decided whether they're just going to have one person sit on the committee representing Democrats, let the Republicans go, you know, buck wild or what?
The prevailing thought has been in our caucus meetings is that we need at least a few Democratic representatives at these meetings, not just one person, but maybe a minority group, maybe three or four folks. I know that, you know, I spoke to a business owner downtown, Amos, and he really thinks that this Benghazi thing is going to take off. But from folks we talk to on the street, no one really even knows about Benghazi or even care, even know where Benghazi is located.
Mm-hmm.
I think folks are concerned about the economy, but I do think that just like with health care, if you tell a lie long enough and if you have money to back the lie, and you have enough attention around the lie, it may not persuade people all the way, but it could cause a certain amount of disillusionment and distrust. And I think the Republicans have been very clever at styling these hearings under the cloak of sincerity when really they are trying to thwart Hillary Clinton's presidential effort.
So this is not a president thing. This is the next president.
Absolutely.
They're going after Grandma Clinton.
Very masterful. You know, my Republican buddies, I give them credit for being very disciplined as it relates to projecting in the future. But they're trying to sow the seeds and drop negative seeds to villainize and demonize not only President Obama, but Secretary Clinton as well.
Let me go to Jerry at 239-1310 on our missing girls. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how are you doing, Amos?
Fine.
You know, I just wrote a book report on I wrote an argument concerning sex trafficking and how we need more legislation and stiffer penalties for people who take children and women and misuse them. And the government does. They need to step in, they need to step up, and they need to start doing something about this because people need to quit taking our children, you know, taking our young girls and misusing them. But it's done right here in the United States, and that's the problem I have. How can you fight something when it's hypocritical when you're doing it in your own country? It's being done in your own country, you know. We got to start here at home, and I want to talk about something else. Even with DCS, the man was talking about the slavery issue. DCS is a way of keeping us separated, just like in slavery. Come pull your children out of your home when they feel like it. Give it to them white people. Pay them all that money. But when they're in relative care, they don't give you a dime. Then they come back, take the children, and just give them away. You know, like 12 days of slave. And I'm kind of tired right now. I'm just tired of the whole mess. I had a little cousin in my house. She's just been here 40 days. DCS came and took her out of my house with some bogus little story report they made up saying, well, we fear for your safety. But you still ain't telling me go down there and talk to my cousin, but you fear for my safety. So you just came and saw a cute little mixed baby, and you decided you were going to form her out to somebody.
All right. You know, the caller raises another issue with the worldwide focus on these missing girls in Nigeria. It is causing people to think about, do we need not only to tighten our laws, and I think we have pretty tight laws.
Strong laws,
but they're also talking about the due process whenever our local governments intervene with children, and maybe DCS needs to understand maybe the sensitivities that exist in the community right now.
Yeah, I think that DCS has done a great job, but too often we hear stories about the manner in which they execute some of their policies. And I think that they need to look at some of their internal controls in an honest way and look at ways in which they could treat families with a little bit more dignity and respect.
Let me go to Lisa right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Amos. Yeah, the girl's situation, I'm piggybacking on what the lady said. We really got to deal with the abuse that is imposed on children and women in this country. Because not only that, America has some, you know, has some issues with how they've gone over in other people's countries and done some things, and that backlash is on us. So we really gotta. I think we, as the ones who have been through slavery, the black folk that have been through slavery, are going to have to be the ones to do something about this thing, because we've been through it and we have survived it. You know what I'm saying? But now we gotta continue to clean it up, our psychological, our emotional, and then the systematic slavery that they try to do now. Yeah. So I believe that we're going to have to be the ones that actually stand up and do something about it all across the country, not just in America.
All right, good points. Let me go to John right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine.
The Boko Haram has nothing to do with us. That's in Africa, and just like in this country, the black people are running this country slowly but surely. But I want to let you and Carson know that Whitey's on the job, and we're coming back with a vengeance, and slavery was the best thing that ever happened to you, and so was apartheid.
Oh! Wait, do you honestly believe that, sir? I love it! The slavery guy has called! Well, goodness.
You know, they're trying to bait me into saying something crazy. But, you know.
Chris, we haven't had a good one of those in a long time. He must have been. Are we sure he was not one of the owners of the Los Angeles Clippers? He's related to the guy in Nevada.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's related to the guy in Nevada. You know, the one that said, I know about what you Negroes need. Yeah, okay.
Well, that doesn't even deserve a response. The listeners are smarter than that. He's trying to invoke a response and get folks to call in and go crazy. I think we know the history. you know, our history coming over here wasn't isolated, Dr. Brown. We know that. We weren't savages. I mean, you look at the history of the pyramids. You look at the history of Kush. And all of the dynasties in Mali, and I'll keep it there.
But the caller also forgets that America stands for what's right, and if somebody's acting a fool someplace else, we're going to do whatever's right. Let me go to Larry, because after that, Larry's normal.
Hey, congratulations, Congressman Carson.
Oh, man, Professor Larry himself, man, we appreciate all that you do. Thank you so much.
Well, let's just go for 95% this time.
Yes, sir.
Mr. 95. Hey, but you mentioned that now the women have bought it up, too. That we have to watch for ourselves. You know, sometimes we get called infidels because we have girls right here in this city, in my community, who are being exploited every night when they go out with their boyfriends and get hooked on crack. That destroys their life forever. I mean, you have a very rare case when you can get one of them that can get away from crack in the entirety of the rest of their life. So we need to have that rally along with all the girls who are out here now that have been hooked on crack maybe when they was 14, 15 years old, and sitting to a life of walking the streets and as worse than slavery, really. So we just need to think of our own, you know, more. But I'm just so proud of you, Andre, and you got great things in your future. And the best thing you've done in your election is ignore foolishness.
Well, thank you, Professor Larry. I've always been a big fan of yours and your Socratic approach to things.
All right,
thank you, brother.
Let me go to Sheldon right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Sheldon.
Hi, Amos. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I wanted to ask Congressman Carson a question regarding a proposal that he had written. I'm not going to ignore the girls that's missing in, you know, over there in Africa. But we, as last speaker said, we should focus on our own home first.
Mm-hmm.
We have thousands and tens of thousands that are misled and led astray every day right here. So let's focus on home and take care of that first and worry about everybody else later. Right now, I wanted to ask Mr. Carson directly, what did he mean when he proposed a bill? He wrote a proposal for the Muslim American veterans to receive the highest appreciation that this country could offer. What did he mean? I'd like for him to respond to that.
I don't understand which proposal you were talking about. I have met with a group of African American Muslim American veterans and non African American Muslim veterans, and we've commended them for their great service to this country. And I think in that acknowledgement, we were trying to focus on the fact that our American military relies on a plethora of U.S. citizens from across the religious spectrum, from theists, non-theists, from Muslims, from Jewish people, from people across faiths who make a contribution to our military, who help us with our counterintelligence efforts, who help us with our translation efforts, who help us with our surveillance, and who help lead our country and do a lot of great things. So in the spirit of pluralism, we were trying to highlight their contributions and tell them to keep up the great work, even as they're faced with prejudice, even as they're faced with opposition from within the ranks. We just wanted to reaffirm their contributions and tell them to keep up the phenomenal work.
But the question I ask you was that you've made a House resolution proposal.
What is the number? What is the number? What is the resolution number? Give us the resolution number, because I don't, I'm unfamiliar with what you're talking about.
I'll do that, Mr. Carson.
Okay, do that.
Well, caller, sir.
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Shelton, is there what's the HR number?
You propose, I just said it's HR 1758.
Is it in this session, and in
that proposal you made the request that this nation, the United States of America, expressing the highest appreciation for the service of Muslim American veterans. There's no plethora of anything that's covered in that HR 1758.
Now, hold on, sir. HR 1758 in this Congress, in the current Congress, is called the CDBG Public Services Flexibility Act of 2013. So do you have the right number, or is it from a previous year?
Yeah, this is from 2010. It was in the 100. It was in the 100.
It's HR.
Hold on. It was in the 111th Congress, introduced in 2010. And the resolution shortly said, we express myself, Congressman Keith Ellison, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, Congressman Mike Honda, and Congressman Filner, the former mayor Filner,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Brown. We wanted to, because these folks have high Muslim populations in their district, we were expressing our sincerest appreciation for the service of Muslim American veterans. And it goes on to say, whereas Muslim American veterans comprise an important population of the nation's estimated 9 million citizens, and we were talking about Muslim Americans in the United States and the military date back to the mid-1800s. So it was a resolution. It was not legally binding, but it was simply acknowledging their contributions to our great military since the mid-1800s. I don't see anything wrong with that. We live in a pluralistic society.
How about every veteran? Every veteran.
We do a lot for veterans. I'm on the record with acknowledging. In fact, the two pieces of legislation that I talk about that have been signed into law by President Obama deals with all veterans.
You wrote one sentence or you reformed one sentence. You did not write that bill. You never wrote a bill that was signed into law by the President of the United States. You know,
I have.
I signed
two pieces of legislation. So go back to whoever sent you to get the record straight. But let me say this. I've been an advocate for veterans since I got into office. My grandmother was an advocate for veterans. I'm unapologetic about it. And those who have a political agenda, Dr. Brown, who seek to constantly, who are backed, in fact, by opponents from other parties, and who are backed and getting paid under the table, they call into shows like this, trying to undermine the effort. But I will say this. I go to the VA quite often. I introduce pieces of legislation that have been signed into law by the president, you can check the record, that deal with veterans and deal with protecting our service members of all stripes. I make no apology for that. And you are open to critique, but I cannot let you sit here, you and those who are against the effort, and lie on me. We won't accept it.
2393. Speaking of the VA, the decision by the American Legion, which is based in this district, that the Secretary of Veterans Affairs needs to resign. The American Legion rarely calls folk out. The last time they did it was when Ronald Reagan was president.
Sure.
How serious are these charges? And is this something that you need to look into and need to tell the VA, hey, my American Legion in my district is upset. Y'all need to get right.
You know, I have to say we have a great working relationship with the VA, and we have a strong relationship with the American Legion. My relationship with the American Legion dates back to when I was in law enforcement. But I can say that there are legitimate claims as it relates to the American Legion's protest. We get calls all the time saying the opposite about how slow the VA is to respond to needs and complaints and concerns, and how the bureaucracy is so rigid that something needs to happen to cause action. I think Shinseki has done an adequate job, but in the age of accountability, we open all critiques.
239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is. Let me take a quick break because everybody's upset about the girls, and as they should be. And a couple of other callers with Congressman Andre Carson after these. With Congressman Andre Carson, back to the phones, and Marvin. Hi there.
Well, good afternoon, Amos. And
good
thank
afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. And I have a question. Well, it's more of a question along with a statement.
Mm-hmm.
This youth problem that we have here in America isn't just in Indianapolis. It's all across the country. And my question to Congressman Carson, with all due respect, shouldn't there be a law passed through the federal government that governs children? The parents should be held accountable for the child. I mean, times change, but principles don't. We have baby mamas and baby daddies that see their children come sagging. I mean, they see all this nonsense going on, and they allow them to go out the house and allow it to come back into the house. Until that is taken care of from a parental point of view,
mm-hmm. We know
the problem that this problem that we have is mm-hmm. always going to be here.
What would you want the federal government to do over parents?
Okay. Hold parents accountability, mainly the welfare system. You know, young ladies have, they get out and they make mistakes. They have one child. The government takes care of that. Then they turn around and have another child, and the government takes care of that. There should be a cutoff point. That third child should be strictly on them. And I think when we start bringing more things back into context, to whereas we have the parent more in the child's life and stop depending on the schools, the churches and the other entities, of course, yeah, they will help to mentor that, but it all starts in the home, and I think that we're missing that and trying to address the problem out in the street. The problem is in the home.
I let the Congressman respond.
Well, you know, there are laws on the books that penalize parents for negligence and the like, but I do think that during these times, the village will have to raise our children. That means more involvement from law enforcement. It means more involvement from the faith community, churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, and so on and so forth. It means having concerned teachers in our schools who aren't just there for a check, but who are really there to take care of the kids. And look, we have a lot of educators who do a phenomenal job. I'm a product of both parochial and public schools. Our teachers are underpaid. We need teachers there, but we can't put the additional burden on our teachers to both parent and teach. So parents play a role. Grandparents, thankfully, have been playing a role. But, you know, we live in a reality where we have parents who are children themselves raising other kids, and there are a lot of unmet needs, and we have generational issues that have not been dealt with. But again, we have great opportunities, and we're doing our part by this job fair, this youth job fair on Thursday from 4 to 7. We have 100 black men represented. We have the Black Expo represented, the Center for Leadership Development, Forest Manor, Edna Martin Christian Center, Employ Indy. We have a lot of good people, the Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. They'll be in the house. Girl Scouts, the Metropolitan Police Department, Children's Choir, the Indianapolis Algebra Project, the Indiana Latino Institute, Kaleidoscope, Keep Indiana Beautiful, La Plaza, Indy Parks, Indianapolis Zoo. You don't want to miss it. If you have a child, if you're concerned about their future, Crystal Morehouse, Jesuit Brebeuf School, send them there. We're trying to make a change.
Let me go to Ron right quick. Hi, Ron.
Amos, I'm going to do a couple of things, and I'm going to let you guys comment. Number one, as far as the last call, the parents are getting young, and your grandparents are getting even younger. Mm. So that's something we've got to think about, too. On the gentleman who called from Fox News, the Islamophobe, he did the right thing by ignoring him because that was just ignorant. On the young ladies that are missing in Nigeria, I trained a kid when I was in the military. I was a drill instructor. I trained a kid whose father helped negotiate the independence of Nigeria from Britain.
Thank you.
We need to help these young ladies, regardless of whether we get involved with the government or not.
Mm-hmm.
We need to help these young ladies, and we don't need to miss the opportunity that we missed in Rwanda.
Absolutely.
And I'll let you guys go ahead from there.
He raises an interesting point.
He does. You know, that was Bill Clinton's biggest regret. One of them was not acting soon enough on the Rwandan issue. And I think the international community, in my mind, has looked at this issue, but we've not looked deeply enough. I saw a Twitter posting the other day from someone I knew. They said that other communities were upset that the attention has shifted from drones. It has shifted from Benghazi. It has shifted from other places and focused on these Nigerian girls. And he raised a great point. We can't compete over victimhood. The fact of the matter is that these girls are our girls. They represent all of our daughters, all of our mothers, all of our sisters, all of our aunts and friends. And we have to show some kind of righteous indignation in calling attention to this issue. But this is a microcosm of the macrocosm that is taking place across this country and across the world.
But it's no different than if somebody had kidnapped 300 Ukrainian girls.
Amen.
And held them hostage for something, the world would have just gone bazonkers.
Absolutely. I think the UN would have sent in troops. I think you would have seen a greater NATO presence, and probably over 50 nations may have sent in a contingency. But the fact of the matter is that these are Nigerian girls, and if we don't bring attention to the issue, no one else will.
Joe will be our last caller with Congressman Andre Carson. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good. I would like to ask Congressman Andre Carson, I'd like to ask him, is there a possibility or a way that you could present to Congress a memorial? I talked to Amos Brown about this. He told me to get in contact with South Carolina, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
They said they had a small memorial there of remembering African Americans who were forced into slavery. We'll be in this country for 400 years in 2019. I would like to see the establishment of a memorial for those who were forced into slavery to be built in the Carolinas. Not just a small little area, but a place that we can, the country can realize that consciously we can raise the moral conscience of this country by building this memorial. It's just not a place where you go throw some flowers in the water, but sure. A big place where people can go and reflect more and do whatever they want to, because too many of the people who were slaves have...
On something like that, if it's something in a particular part of the country, wouldn't the leadership have to come from the congressional delegation, the African-American delegation in the Carolinas, that North and South?
You're right, Dr. Brown. That would be Jim Clyburn or Senator Tim.
Tim Scott.
Tim Scott. But we do have legislation related to slavery. We just introduced legislation that's working through committee right now, Dr. Brown. trying to place a placard on the White House grounds acknowledging the contributions that the slaves have made to building the White House.
So is this something that if it was happening in the Carolinas, it would need to start with members of the North or the South Carolina delegation? You could probably Joe, what you probably need to do is send information about this to Congressman Carson's office.
Yes.
And then he can forward that to his colleagues in the Carolinas.
Yes.
Okay, this has been a hunger for me for two decades almost. And to me, it's just been overlooked. Our forefathers contributed so much and are not recognized for the things that they have contributed to. I appreciate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I know he was a great man, and I remember the history. I was 9 when he was assassinated and all that, which was horrible. But he's not the only one who contributed to the establishment of African Americans. If our forefathers weren't here, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
So it needs to be recognized and remembered because they were somebody. They were human beings first before they were slaves.
Well, thank you for your advocacy and thank you.
Give
for
his staff
spirit.
A call and set up an appointment and get that information to him, okay?
283-6516.
And
thank you.
This Thursday.
Yes.
Shortridge.
Yes.
4-7.
4-7.
Find opportunities for young folks to get a job. If opportunities for summer camps and stuff. 4 to maybe close to 20 or something.
Absolutely. If you have a child, if you have a relative, if you have nieces or nephews, if you have friends, if you see potential in a young kid on the street, have them at Shortridge. We want to change their future.
Congressman Andre Carson, always good to see you. Thanks very
always
much for
pleasure,
being
Dr.
with
Bro.
Us. We'll be back with our many moments after these.